Psalms 119. We're continuing our study in the book of Psalms, and I'm in Psalms 119. And I'm actually on verse 73. Psalms 119 and verse 73. Ariana was telling me during her Bible class for school. I don't know what the Bible that you have, but some of them you'll see it's broken down into sections, and they may have a little bit above. And in starting at verse 73, this one has Jod, right? And what you see is it shows you what the letter is, right? You think about it, it's the Hebrew alphabet that's there, and you see that. And you think about it in the New Testament, where our Lord said, I think every jot and tittle, right? And you look at what's there, you know? How small that is. God saying all of that is important. There you go. That's what it is. It kind of looks like it's like that little dot above the semicolon, but it's not. It's different than that. But that little dot that's up there, the reality is God says every single thing in His Word is important, right? Don't mess with it. Don't add to it, and don't take away from God's Word. Amen. Look here in Psalms 73. Let me just go ahead and pray, and then I'll ask the Lord to help me with this. Lord, I thank you again for another day, Father, that you have given. Lord, you've been very good to us, and I thank you for your faithfulness to us, faithfulness to your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help me with preaching and teaching. I want to be a blessing to those people that are hearing your word, and help me to rightly divide it. I pray for your blessing upon us, and do a work as only you can. And we ask to Jesus in your precious name. Amen. So if you look here at verse 73 and verse 74, we'll go through verse 80, Lord willing, this evening. Unless the rapture happens, then I'm not going to finish. Amen. And if you're still here when the rapture, you're in trouble. That means you didn't accept the Lord. Amen. And then you'll go through the tribulation period. Thank God that you get saved. Amen. God promised to deliver us from the wrath to come. And the wrath talks about the tribulation period. He says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. For they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word." Here it is, the psalmist, I believe it was David, that God gave to pen down these words that are here. And he starts off and he's recognizing who God is, right? He's recognizing, he's saying, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me," right? God, I know that you are the creator. Folks, can I tell you, it's crazy. You think about this world that we live in today. There's people that believe that we came from nothing. You know, they don't believe in God. The truth is, deep down in their heart, they know it's sin that has blinded them. They know that there is a God, there's a creator, and the reality is they have rejected him. And you think about what we're seeing in our day and age today is they're worshiping the creation instead of the creator. And I'm telling you, we're living some crazy times. Amen. Some of these dumb things that they're putting through, it's just dumb. Amen. I was reading about, I think in 2026, which is next year, I believe in our state, if someone builds a new building, like a house building, you cannot have natural gas. They're forcing people to go to electric. Or what will happen is people put probably wood stoves. And then I remember Mark said something. I'm sure in time they'll try to force people out of using wood and who knows what else. It's just stupid, right? And they try to blame it, and they say this climate change that's there. Do you know, I was reading my Bible, you know, and after God brought the flood upon this earth, that God said that summer and winter and day and night shall not... Sometimes I have the verses there, then my brain goes too fast, and then I get it all crumbled together, so hey, you have to bear with me. "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat," there it is, "summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." So I had, I just showed it. Genesis, let me go back to it. Sorry about that. Oh, that's fine. Genesis 8, verse 22. Genesis 8, while the earth remaineth. You know what that means? Mark, we're still going to have winter, right? You can get every single one of us to be turned into Amish and get rid of all this crazy stuff. But the reality is they're still going to have winter, right? Every single person can get the biggest SUV in the world and rev it up 24/7 that's there. You're still going to have winter. You know why? God said so. Amen? And the reality is God is always right. And you have these crazy people out there that worship the creation. And we'll say this. Well, back in the 70s, they warned us about the, global cooling. Now then it turned to global warming. Do you know why they call it climate change now? Because they realize, well, we got that one wrong. We call it climate change. Yeah, it can go anyway, right? Anyway, how did I get on that? God wants you to hear it, amen? But anyway, what is he saying here? God, you have created me. He recognizes that. God is the one who created us. This world just can't be by chance. The reality is there has to be a creator. Look at the stars, the moon, the sun. Look how everything, how God has set it. It's just amazing. And here it is. He's recognizing that, God, you're the one that created me. And he also recognized that, God, you're the one that can help me to understand your word. You're the one who can help me to learn your commandments. This Bible, you think about it, is a spiritual book. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this Bible, when you read it, don't be surprised. It's like you're reading, you don't understand anything. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God. You're not going to understand. Why? Because it's a spiritual book. But even though we're saved, the reality is this. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to understand His Word. Amen? That's why when you're reading your Bible, when you pick up your Bible and read it in the morning, you should make sure you pray, confess, make sure everything's right with you and the Lord. And you should ask the Lord, Lord, help me to learn your Word. Help me to understand. Teach me something from it. Amen? And that's what David is doing. And it's interesting when you go through this song, again, it's in a section that's here, these eight verses from 73 down to verse 80. What we learn in this section is David was chastened, right? We saw that the last section, and now we're seeing it again, that he was chastened from God, and he was suffering some hardship from others. God allowed others to come in. They were doing some things, and he was suffering hardship. But it didn't change David's belief. He knew that he's God. He recognized that he's God. And he's asking the Lord to learn something. And his desire is, if you look at verse 73 or 74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I hoped in thy word. Even though David is suffering, David's going through a hardship, David is being afflicted, David is saying, Lord, my desire is that people see my life, that even though I'm going through these hardships, going through this trial, they would see that I still have faith. I did not turn away from God. Now, we got to chase him because he was doing something he shouldn't, and God turned him back. But here it is. He's going through it, and he's saying, Lord, I want people to be encouraged. Can I tell you, it should be our desire that we want to encourage others in the faith. I want my life to encourage you to live for God. I want my life to influence you to say, you know what? I want to serve the Lord. But you know, you can be an influence or encouragement to me. You being faithful to the Lord encourages me. Don't be a discouragement, be an encouragement. How can you be an encouragement? Come to church. Be faithful to church. When you're having a good day, come to church. When you're having a bad day, come to church. Amen? Can I tell you, be an encouragement. Be someone who's faithful to the Lord. I think I have told you this example, I don't know how many times, and I'll probably tell you probably many more times if God allows. But I still think of my good friend, I call him a good friend, Dr. Hamlin. He's in heaven now. But I still remember that man. They put him on hospice. Said he didn't have much time to live. And he prayed, God, help me to be able to preach. And can I tell you, God heard and answered that prayer. And God allowed him to come off of hospice and to preach. And he preached until God called him home. I'm telling you what encouragement, when I think back to him, that's what I think of, the encouragement he is to me. I think about there was another person. They were having horrible problems, and they were in the hospital, and they finally got out. I can't remember how many months they were in the hospital, weeks they were in the hospital, a period of time. And when they finally got out, the first thing they wanted to do, they said, I want to go to the house of God. Amen? And they want to go to church. Folks, can I tell you what an encouragement that is? Amen? They want to come to church and worship God. Here is David saying, hey, through whatever trial that I'm going through, this hardship, I want to be an encouragement. I want to be an encouragement to others that they could see my life and say, David is being afflicted, but he is still a man of faith. See, the reality is, I can tell you I have faith. But faith, if you know if I have faith, you'll see it in my life. Right? Every single person in the world will say that they have faith, don't have faith, whatever it is. But the reality is you have faith, right? You had faith in these chairs. Praise the Lord. God bless us and gave us some nice chairs that we can sit in. You had faith that those chairs would hold you up, right? So we all have faith. I'm talking about faith in God. Amen? Have you accepted the Lord as your personal Savior and put your faith? And then after you get saved, we walk by faith. What that means is God says something in His Word, and we believe it, and we act upon it. So you think about, you're trusting God to save your soul. Why not trust Him in everything else He says? Amen? Sometimes people struggle with tithing, right? Tithing is not a difficult thing, right? God gives you $100, you give Him 10, right? God gives you $1,000, give Him 100, amen? God gives you $1,000,000, you call the preacher. No, I'm just joking. You give Him 100,000, amen? It's not really that difficult. You give God 10%, amen? But you know, a lot of times people struggle with that when it comes to money. Like, oh, I can't tithe or whatever. You trusted Him to save your soul. Why can't you trust Him just living for Him, amen? He said, you put me first, and I'll take care of you, amen? So anyway, faith, amen? Faith should be seen, amen? That's there. But anyway, he didn't want to be a hindrance. He didn't want to be a hindrance. Even though what he did was, whatever he did, God was chasing him, and he got right, and now he was suffering some things. He's like, I don't want to be a hindrance. I don't want someone to look and say, David quit on God. David is on the sideline. He's like, no, I want them to see my faith. Look what the Bible says as we continue on. Down here, verse 75 through 77. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. Oh, could I tell you, God's word is true. There is no errors in this good old Bible that we have. What a wonderful blessing that is. That we have the God's word. It's wonderful. I mean, I can go to this Bible and I know whatever God says is true. Amen? God said it, it's true. I'm not worried about the extinction of the polar bears. I'm not worried about it. One time they said all the snow would melt. We'd never have snow again. You do know they were saying that back in the early 2000s, right? When they were saying about global warming. They were saying we would never see snow again. That it would melt, and they were worried about New York City of being flooded and stuff that was there. All the glaciers going away, you know. Then you know what happened? God's sense of humor. We got a big old storm. And then they said, because of global warming, you're going to get major snowstorms. And you think about all these people that believed that stuff. Well, where were you last year when they said it? Oh, I believed them. Now this year. I mean, they're rolling a dice, amen. But anyway, God's word is true. It never changes. It's forever settled. And here he is. He says, I know that, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and thou in faithfulness have afflicted me. That word afflicted talks about suffering, trouble, hardship. The reason David suffered this affliction, being afflicted, was because of his sin. Something David did brought this affliction, being afflicted, from God. And David just says, it was because, Lord, your judgments are true. Your word is true. It's because you're faithful, right? you're faithful. And because you're faithful, you always honor your word. And here is, I was the one that stepped out of line. I did something that was wrong. And because you love me, because you're faithful, because your word is true, you chasten me. Can I tell you, God loves you. God loves me. And when you and I start walking out of His way, the reality is the Holy Spirit will start working on you and say, oh, Mark, don't do that. And then you keep on working. You know what happens? God will take you to the woodshed. Amen? None of us like that. You know why? Because God's faithful. Because you're a child of God. And because God's faithful, He always keeps His word. Remember that. Amen? God always keeps His word. And if God always keeps His word, what that means is you walk out of the way. Don't be mad at God. God's faithful. He told you ahead of time. Amen? What His word is. Amen? It's true. He goes on and says, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come up unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Now here it is, he recognized God chastened him. He recognized it's out of love. And what is it? Now he's asking the Lord for mercy, tender mercy, merciful kindness, right? The reality is, he's asking the Lord, saying, Lord, he got right. He's saying, Lord, I know what I did was wrong. And I admit that your word is truthful. You're faithful. You didn't do it out of meanness. You love me. And now he's saying, Lord, will you help me? Will you have mercy on me? Will you show mercy? Because it sounds like, as we read the next few verses here shortly, there were those that were coming in, the proud. I believe that he's referring to these people that were wicked, that were doing things against him. And he's asking, Lord, please, please help me. Oh, can I tell you all these stories in the Old Testament? They're all true. And when you go through and you see the truth that's here, you can learn a lot from David's life. You can learn a lot from others' life. And what that time that David committed sin, committed adultery, and then ultimately his son came in and took over that was there. Oh, I can't imagine the hardship it must have been for David. There's been other times where King Saul would go against David, and ultimately, I can't imagine the hardship that David went through. And some of it, yes, he brought upon himself, and others, it's just because of the wickedness of man. But anyway, he's asked him for the tender mercies of God. Who here has never made a bad decision? You know? We all have, right? And when we have made those bad decisions, the reality is we have the consequences for those bad decisions. We got to live with them. And sometimes what happens, we can get down, get discouraged, you know. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, chapter 23. In Acts, chapter 23. Sometimes when you get discouraged, you made a bad decision, you ask the Lord to forgive you and say, Lord, what was I thinking? I'm sorry. Look here at the book of Acts, chapter 23. You have to realize God is not out to destroy you. God doesn't hate you. God loves you. God doesn't want you to carry your burdens. He'll carry them for you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen? What a wonderful thing when you think about that as you turn to Acts chapter 23. In Acts chapter 23, what you're going to see is, starting at verse 1, here is Paul. God told Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. You go back in other chapters, you read that, the Holy Spirit told him, and he would go to place, and there would be people there and say, Paul, don't go. Holy Spirit's telling you, don't go. And Paul had his heart, he's like, but I want to go. I want them to know about Jesus. You know, God allows us to have a free will. Even though it's not God's will, divine will, God allowed it. And what happened in verse 20, in chapter 22, verse 1, he says, men and brethren, fathers, hear ye my defense, what I make unto you. And he goes through and tells them his testimony. How he was a Jewish man and had this zeal for God. He didn't really realize it wasn't the God of heaven. And he said he was against Jesus Christ. And then ultimately what happened, as he was on his way to Damascus, he saw that light that was brighter than the sun. And he realized who he was going against. He was going against God. And then ultimately, he accepted the Lord as his Savior. He accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And after he got saved, he got baptized. I mean, he was on fire for God. He had a zeal before to kill Christians, and then he gets saved. He had a zeal to make more people Christians. Amen? I mean, he just had a desire. And here it is, as he's standing there giving them his defense and saying, look, I was one of you, and God saved me. And he mentions the Gentiles, and they were all like, get rid of him, kill him, right? You know, saying all these things. And then ultimately, what happens? He goes to like a prison. You see that verse 10, you're 22, or chapter 23. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, hearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the castle. Here it is, these people went against him and all this trouble that's here. And here it was, they were going to take him and probably rip him apart. You know, if you're eating chicken, that's good to rip apart. But having your arms ripped off, that's probably not too pleasant. Amen. And here it is, now he's in this castle, in prison, sitting there, locked up, thinking, what did I do? God warned me over and over, and I didn't listen. And he's sitting there thinking, what did I do? Verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Folks, can I tell you, God had mercy on him. God showed merciful kindness, tender mercy to him. God didn't say, Paul, what did you do? Paul, I warned you. God didn't say, well, sorry, you'll be over there by yourself. Nope. God, what did it say? Stood by him. Amen. God's not going to leave you. God's not going to forsake you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And when God says, be of good cheer, that means, John, if you think about it, he wasn't of good cheer. He was cast down. And God said, hey, cheer up, Paul. Be of good cheer. Amen. I want you to know, they want to kill you here. Nope. You're going to go to Rome. And you're going to testify of me. Amen? Folks, what I'm saying is, God shows mercy to us when we don't deserve it. You go back here to Psalms 119, and David is here asking God for mercy. Oh, I'm so thankful in Psalms 119, when he says that for mercy, that God shows mercy. I can't say every decision I made in my life was right. And there's been times I just pray and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, show me mercy. Show me mercy of what I did, the bad decision I made. Lord, have mercy upon me. And sometimes you think about, I still suffer the consequences, but God can give me a good cheer, right? Paul still suffered the consequences, but he had a good cheer. He knew that God wasn't going to leave him. God wasn't going to forsake him. Amen. So here it is. David is saying this. And look what he says here in verse 78. Psalms 119, verse 78. He says, the proud. Now this proud appears to be, based on the contents that's here, he refers to as the wicked, right? The wicked. Now sometimes as Christians we could be prideful, right? But here is he saying, he says, let the proud be ashamed, for they have dealt perversely. That word perversely means turn aside, turn away from the right, willingly erring, wicked. Here it says, for the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Here is in this a little portion of Psalms, what do we see? David is saying, Lord, help me to be faithful, that I want to be an encouragement to others. He was in the midst of a trial. And as he's in the midst of this trial, we see now that it's the proud, the wicked, that's going against David for no cause. David didn't do anything. And here it is, and he's saying, but I will meditate in thy precepts. I'm not going to allow this trial that I have to get my eyes off of your word. I want to stay focused, Lord, on your word. You do know the devil hates you, right? You do know that the devil, his desire is for you to walk away from God. It would make probably make him happy. I don't know what the right word to be. For you to stop being faithful to God. Not because he loves you, he hates you. He just hates God and he hates you. And if you would walk away, the reality is that hurts God. And don't you think he's going to make sure people are aware of it? He's going to make sure that maybe people in your family, those that you're close to, that person you've been witnessing to that would come to Christ, say, you know what? Look at them walking away. Folks, why is that? Because he wants everyone to go to hell. He knows he's going. He knows he can't change that. But here it is. David saying, here I'm being afflicted by these people. But Lord, I want to meditate in thy precepts. Can I tell you, God's word can give you peace in the midst of trouble. God's word can give you peace. Like this world cannot give you peace. It can't. This world is in chaos. When you leave here and you go to work, wherever you go, this world is in chaos. But can I tell you, as a believer in the center of God's will, God can give you peace. God can give you peace in the midst of your trial. And David's saying, hey, I will meditate in thy precepts. Even though I'm being afflicted, here it is. He's telling the Lord, he's kind of saying, Lord, I will do this. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to meditate in thy precepts. Instead of allowing them to destroy him, he's allowing them to strengthen him. Oh, can I tell you? That's not what the devil desired. The devil's desire, Elma, is when he allows something to happen to you, is to destroy you. But when you are afflicted, when you are keeping your eyes on him and meditating in his word, the reality is you are growing stronger. And he hates it. Amen? Here it is, the affliction that's there. And David said, Lord, I'm going to meditate more on your word. Sometimes I wonder if the devil scratches his head and just like, oh, why did I bring that trial? Because they're growing closer to God. You know? It'd have been better off for me not to do that. You know? Because he was hoping that maybe Miss Elma would yell out and blame God. Oh, I think about Job in the Old Testament. I can just only imagine the devil was over there on the side as Job heard about those guys that lined up to tell him of the bad things that happened, of his losing his wealth. The next thing, it was just like a line of people. And the last person that was there, standing there, said, Job, I'm the only one. Your sons and daughters are dead. And I could just imagine as the devil was standing over there, smiling, waiting to hear. Oh, he just like what he was thinking, he's going to curse God. And he hears those words, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, I could just imagine, like, what? He hated it so much, he goes back to God and says, it's because you have your hand on him, right? Remove that. Folks, can I tell you, blessed be the name of the Lord. David said, I will meditate. Amen. I'm just going to think about your word and dwell on your word. He wouldn't allow those that were doing these things to discourage him. Look what the Bible says over here to verse 165. 165. Can I tell you, I love this verse. In Psalms 119, 165, the Bible says, great peace have they, look at this, which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, that word offend doesn't mean that you're not going to be offended per se, but it talks about a stumbling block to fall, right? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them as a stumbling block. Amen? If we just have a love for God and his word, well, you think that one's good. Look over here to Isaiah 26. In Isaiah 26, I really like these verses. Matter of fact, I have them underlined in my Bible. Look over here to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. In Isaiah chapter 26. Look at verse 3 and 4. Oh, I love these verses. In Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. Thou will keep him in, look at this, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. What does he say? Keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Perfect peace, right? Now, you think about peace, that's good. Imagine perfect peace. Just keep your mind on Jesus. Amen. Keep your mind on his word. Don't lose faith. Amen. Now, go back here to Psalms. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. So, again, David is going through this. David's going through this trial. He made a bad decision, whatever it was, sin that brought chastening. He got right with the Lord. He's praying and saying, Lord, I want to be a encouragement to others. Lord, help me through this. And look what he says here in verse 79 and verse 80. Verse 79 and 80. Again, he's in the midst of this trial. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. In the midst of the trial, what do we see? He had a desire to encourage other believers. He had a desire to encourage other believers. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Amen. He wanted to be an encouragement. In the book of Ephesians, if you read the book of Ephesians, what you'll see, it's kind of like a book. Paul's talking about the joy of, you know, serving the Lord, being the center of God's will. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And there's other things that are there. You can go through it, talking about peace. You can have the peace of God. You'll see that in Philippians. Paul is in prison. And he's talking about how you can have the peace of God. Paul is in prison saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice, right? Paul was in prison. Paul was in prison when he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul is in prison when he says, keep your finger there. Look over here to Ephesians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And look what he says here, verse Philippians chapter 2. We'll be coming back to Psalms 119. Philippians chapter 2. Look here at verse 17. Look what Paul says. Philippians 2 verse 17. Philippians 2 verse 17. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me.
Paul's saying that, you know, I'm in prison, I'm suffering and going through things, but when I was here, I may have helped you to come to the Lord. I may have helped you in whatever you're battling that you got the victory. And now you're serving God faithfully. And Paul says, you know what? Even though I'm in prison, but because I'm in prison that you came to God, he says, you know, if I die and became a martyr, I'm rejoicing. Because if I wasn't here, you wouldn't be where you are. Earlier in that chapter, Paul said he had a desire to depart, which is far greater. He said, but I know it's needful for me to stay for you, to help you, right? Do you know what you see? You see a man that surrendered to God. Thy will be done, right? As someone who surrendered to the Lord and say, Lord, if it's your will, become a martyr, to come home with you, praise the Lord, I'm ready to go. If it's going to help these people to grow in the Lord, praise the Lord, whatever it would be, right? That was his desire. A man who surrendered, you know what you see? You see a man of having joy and peace. Amen? Instead of you trying to get joy and peace, just surrender and say, Lord, thy will be done. Amen. I'll just stay in the center of your will. David is in the midst of a trial. As you turn back here to Psalms 119. And what is it? He's thinking about others. He's thinking about others. He wants to be an encouragement. You think about our Lord when he was dying on the cross. What was he doing? He was thinking about us. He was thinking about that crowd there that day. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Think about, as the Lord was dying on the cross, he was still drawing people to him. And that thief on the cross got saved. As he was on that cross, what was it? He looked down and he saw Mary that was there and John and said, John, you know, paraphrasing it, to take her home with you and take care of her, right? Can I tell you, here's our Lord suffering for us. And what was it? He was thinking about you. As Hebrews would tell us, the joy that was set before him. Folks, can I tell you, God loved you and me so much. Even when he was dying on the cross, he was thinking about us. He did it for us. Amen? David is suffering in the midst of a trial. What is it? He wants to be an encouragement to others. Sometimes when someone is in the midst of a trial, you know what happens? It's like our focus turns right around and just goes all to me. Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. Me, me, me. Me, me. Right? And the reality is that's what I'm thinking. Right? In the midst of a trial, instead of doing that, why don't you look out? Get rid of that mirror. Put it to the side. And look out and say, Lord, what can I do to be a blessing? I want to surrender. That old saying you ever heard, joy, Jesus first, others second, yourself last, that's there. You know, his desire was to be an encouragement. And what else do we... He had a desire to keep God's word. That word sound talks about without blemish, full and complete. That was his desire. I want to follow your word. Sometimes it takes someone to go through a trial before they finally surrender and say, you know what? I want to keep God's word. That should be a desire in our heart. Don't wait for a trial to come. Surrender now. You know, don't wait for the future to serve God. No. Serve him now. Amen? Here it is. That was his desire. Desire to encourage others. A desire to keep God's word. And a desire to be faithful to God. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. That was his desire. He wanted to be faithful to God. Is that really your desire? To be faithful to God? I promise you, if that's your desire, you're going to have people that's not going to like you. You're going to have people that are going to go against you. Barb, you're going to have people that are going to try to go against you, and you did nothing wrong against them. Right? See how I picked Barb instead of Dave? I'm just joking. Amen. But anyway, what I'm saying is this. It's because you're trying to do what's right. They that live godly shall suffer persecution. You're going to suffer persecution. Amen? Why is that? It's because you love Jesus and you're putting Jesus first. And you're saying, hey, this is what the Bible says and this is what God said. I'm just going to do it. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to have people maybe in your family. You're going to have some people in your friends. You'll have people at work. I'm sure they're going to have people in their community and other places that will say, I don't like you. And they'll persecute you. And you know what they'll do? They'll make fun of you, Mark, while you're there and say things. And when they're not looking at Mark and Mark's not around, they're going to say more, right? Then Mark comes, he's a pretty big guy, they'll say, I didn't say that. You know, they knew I didn't say that. But they're going to go against you and me. Why is that? Because of Jesus. Just remember, it's always because of him. And here it is, he's saying, I don't want to be ashamed. I want to stand up for Jesus. That my life will encourage people to come to him. That my life will ultimately encourage people to continue on serving him. My desire is that people would surrender and say, you know what? I want to see boys and girls get saved. And what a blessing that would be. I want to see people that have some years under them or elderly get saved. Folks, it should be our desire to say, I want to serve Jesus. That was what David was saying in the midst of a trial. Lord, I don't want to be discouraged to get someone to stop serving. No, no, no. I want to be encouraged to keep people to continue serving. Would that be your heart today? Father, I surely thank you for this opportunity to preach and teach. And Lord, I pray that would be our heart. I pray that would be our heart to say, Lord, I just want to serve you. I want to be faithful to you. And Lord, I pray that would be our desire today. I ask these things in Jesus' precious name.